The title for this conference is Jungian Interpretation of Dreams. Each of us has close at hand a wise guide and counselor who communicates with us every night, showing us the way our life should go, warning us of a wrong turn that we may have made or are in danger of making, encouraging us to continue what we are now doing. We can call this inner guide our dream ego. Freud was perhaps the first person who came to an appreciation of the importance of dreams in modern times. Morton Kelsey has made a study of the use of dreams in history, and he points out that in ancient times, including the Bible, both New Testament and Old Testament, in the sense people were accustomed to make use of dreams as a help in guiding them, making their decisions in life. However, there was a prejudice against dreams somewhere around 400 or 500 AD, so that for the past 1500 years in the Western world, we have discounted dreams. Freud, in 1900, published his book, Interpretation of Dreams. Carl Jung, in his doctoral dissertation in 1902, quotes from this. But just as Jung's views on the psyche eventually deviated very widely from those of Freud's, so that Jung had to disassociate himself from Freud, the same is true as far as the view of dreams are concerned. For Freud, all dreams in some way referred to the particular dogma that he held, namely that the fundamental energy in a human being is the sexual libido, which always strives for pleasure and gratification. And he said that dreams either are explicitly concerned with the sexual libido, or every other dream can be interpreted in some way to refer back to this. Jung disagreed with him, just as Adler had done. Adler saw that there was another drive in people, namely the power drive, and that this would be indicated in many dreams. But Jung went much further. He said that dreams can mean anything, in the sense that dreams are just as wide in the variety of subjects that they are concerned with as our life is. The dreams are really the voice of the unconscious that speaks to us. Actually, we are dreaming all the time. In other words, the unconscious is constantly making itself known to the conscious. But it's something like the stars. They shine all the time, but in the daylight we don't see them. And so the average person, when they are awake and are involved in the things of this world, they are not aware of that voice of the unconscious. Now, a psychotic, a person who does not have a strong ego, a person who has lost control of their conscious life, yes, then their whole life is very often just overwhelmed and flooded out with these images from the unconscious. But for the average person, it's only very rarely that this voice of the unconscious becomes so strong that it actually can enter into conscious life. And we call this a vision. So a vision is a dream that intrudes itself into our waking life. But other than that, every person dreams, whether they remember it or not, that there is dreaming that is going on throughout the night. However, people who have made a study of this tell us that it goes in cycles of about 90 minutes. So approximately once every hour and a half during the night, the dreaming becomes very, very vivid. Then it sort of fades away and comes back again about 90 minutes later. There are many different ways of interpreting dreams, but basically we have to realize that the language of dreams is the language of the unconscious, namely the language of symbols. And so, for the most part, dreams are not to be taken literally. There are some dreams that are so clear, so manifest, and this would be particularly what we call destiny dreams. And any number of people down through history have had these kind of dreams that it is so clear that this is the voice of that inner self, that center of our being, telling us the particular direction we should go, perhaps for the rest of our life, or at least in the particular situation in which we find ourselves. Now, there are different values to dreams. There are what you might call the housekeeping dreams or the house cleaning dreams. I like to call them the little dreams. These are the ordinary dreams that the average person who is leading more or less a balanced life and does not have any serious problems. These are the dreams that come to them during the night. And then you will have medium-sized dreams. These are dreams that have a real lesson, a real message to give us. And then you have the big dreams. These are the dreams that come out of the collective unconscious. And these dreams very often not only refer to our own personal problems and needs, but they have reference to the needs of the whole human race. Many people go through life without ever having any really big dreams. Probably the average person might have one or two of them. Now, Freud said that dreams often lie. And he came to this conclusion from this particular dogma that he had, namely that the sex libido was the focal point of the whole of life. And so whenever he was dealing with a dream that had no sexual reference, he said this is simply being disguised. Jung totally disagreed with Freud. Jung claimed that dreams never lie, that it is impossible for a dream to deceive us or to lie deliberately, that if it is interpreted properly, it always tells the truth. And the next point that Jung made is that dreams are always our friend. They're always there to help us and not to harm us. And provided we can take them seriously and interpret them correctly, there is always a worthwhile message there. Now, it is true that evil forces, what Christians traditionally call Satan, are able to make use of dreams to try to bring about usually some kind of ego inflation, to bring about some kind of a downfall of our spirituality. But these are not too often. Probably less than 10% of our dreams would have that kind of reference. Sometimes it would be even less than 1%. In general, we can, as our Lord tells us, know whether a dream is from a good spirit or an evil spirit by its fruits. If it produces good fruits, then it cannot be from the evil spirit. It has to come from God. The problem for people today is that we have, for the most part, forgotten how to think in symbols. And dreams always speak to us in symbols. That is the language of the unconscious. And so if we are to interpret dreams properly, we need to pay close attention to symbols and try to get behind the dream And one of the ways of doing this is to ask certain questions when you have had a dream. Why did God give me this dream? What is it trying to tell me? What do I need to learn from it? What is it warning me against or advising me to do? What is it goading me on to do or to stop doing? So you ask questions in regards to the dream, particularly when you have an unfinished dream. In other words, you're dreaming about something and it suddenly breaks off. This usually indicates that you have come to a point where your conscious life is resisting something of the unconscious that wants you to go on. And so it is possible to go back into the dream during waking hours and to finish the dream. And there have been a number of different methods that have been developed in modern times to help us. One of these is the use of music, is to just put on some classical music and listen to it for a while and close one's eyes and then to relive the dream in the present tense, exactly the way you remember it occurring. When you get to that point where the dream broke off, is to just, whatever first comes to your mind, to try to finish the dream in your imagination. And when you do this, it is important that you do not stop and say, now why did I think that? Why did I suggest that? Do not make any attempt to interpret the reasons for why you had those thoughts until after it's all over. But just try to let your own imagination run on. And very often a person is able to come to some completion of the dream. Then you can go back and start asking questions. Why did this happen? What does it mean? What does this symbolize? Another way of working with dreams, and this would be particularly in regards to what we might call nightmares. These would be those dreams that are very frightening, where we are being chased by somebody or something that is endangering us. These dreams have something to say. Ordinarily, these nightmares come again when our conscious life is resisting something worthwhile that the unconscious is trying to get through to us. And so what you can do is to dialogue with the different characters in the dream, and you do this during your waking hours. Now, if it is a particularly frightening nightmare, I would strongly recommend that you do this with a friend, someone that's there, because we are dealing with very powerful psychic forces when we deal with dreams. And sometimes they can be so overwhelming that at the moment we cannot handle them alone. But with the presence of a friend, this usually makes it possible to follow through on it. Another thing is that when you're working with these kind of dreams, you never end on a negative note. You always find some way of ending your working with the dream in a positive way. In working with such dreams, you dialogue with the different characters. And this can be not only human beings, but with animals, for example. And the first question that you ask is, what is your name? We know from the Bible that there is this ancient tradition that once you know the name of a person or an animal or a thing, you now have power over it. For example, Adam was told to name all the different animals in the Garden of Paradise. And so once you can get the name of the dream figures, they can no longer harm you. Now, it's true that times the dream figures will just give you some innocuous name like Jack or Mary, or, and unless it has some meaning to you, you say, well, do you have another name? And you keep asking that until some name comes up that has some meaning to you. Now, what you do is you allow your imagination to just say whatever first comes. You have to be relaxed, and you have to be willing to let come what comes. You don't question it. You don't say, well, why did I say that, or why did I think that? You just do it. And in this way, you open yourself to your intuition, because we need to have a good intuitive ability if we are going to interpret dreams properly. The next question is, once you've gotten a name that has some meaning for you when you're interpreting it, then you say, what do you want? What can I do for you? You always approach each character in the dream as a friend. You always presume that that character in that dream was given to you to help you and is not there to hurt you. What can I do for you? What can you do for me? Why are you here? My own experience is, in working with people that have had these frightening dreams, these nightmares, is that invariably, I've never seen it to fail, that invariably, if you work in a friendly way with the dream, that these characters, these particular animals, or whatever it might be, that were so frightening in the dream, they suddenly become transformed, and they become your friend. They're there to help you, and they tell you something that you need to know. Now, sometimes there is resistance so that nothing happens. In other words, you're not able to get through, to get any worthwhile answer. And that's why very often we need the help of a professional dream interpreter, somebody who has been trained in this. One of Jung's points was that dreams can be interpreted at two levels, either the subjective level or the objective level. The subjective level is that every character in the dream represents or symbolizes a part of your personality. For example, it was Jung's opinion that whenever we dream of persons of the same sex as ourselves, like when men dream of men and women dream of women, that those particular characters of the same sex in our dream represent different aspects of our unconscious shadow that we are repressing and that needs to be brought up into the surface of consciousness. And so if you would dialogue with those characters of the same sex as the dreamer, then the likelihood is that you will discover some particular aspects of your shadow, something that has been repressed that needs to become conscious. This is the subjective way, that every part of the dream, that every character, every situation of the dream symbolizes some particular aspect of your personality that is below the level of consciousness, and now it is time, it is ripe. It's an archetype, for example, that is ripe to be brought up into consciousness. On the other hand, according to Jung, whenever a person dreams of people of the opposite sex, woman dreams about men, men dream about women, this means that these characters of the opposite sex are aspects of one's anima or animus. Therefore, when a woman dreams about men, these men in her dreams are aspects of her animus, her masculinity, that have been repressed or have been in the unconscious that are now wanting to be brought up into consciousness. And so she would look at what kind of characters those men are in her dreams and try to discern what is it in that particular character that would represent some aspect of masculinity, either that she is wrongly expressing in her conscious life or that she is failing to express and is now asking to be brought into consciousness. In a similar way, when a man dreams of women, it means that those women represent different aspects of his anima, his femininity, either that he is neglecting or he is abusing, misusing, or in one way or another, they are telling him something that needs to be corrected, changed, or added to help him to get a balance between his masculinity and his femininity. Besides this subjective way of interpreting dreams, Jung speaks of the objective way, that these dreams represent the different relationships that we might have with other people, and they sometimes can have to do with events out in the world that our psyche has picked up, and as a result we are able to have a knowledge even of things that will happen in the future. They're called precognitive dreams. Many people never have such dreams. There's some people who have a frequent precognitive dream. It seems that the psyche is able to pick up, you might say, the vibrations in the air of when things are going in a particular direction, and a person who has a very keen, highly developed psychic ability, and that usually means the intuition, that this person is able to pick up those vibrations that are in the air and are able to dream about it. Another major difference between the way Jung interpreted dreams and, say, Freud, Jung insisted that a dream can mean anything. And secondly, he insisted that the only person that can decide for sure whether the interpretation of the dream is authentic is the dreamer. And so instead of Jung telling people what a particular object or symbol meant, he would always make a suggestion. Do you think it might mean this? Waiting for the dreamer to say, oh yes, yes, that makes sense. Whereas Freud, of course, felt that dreams were very deceptive and that only a professional therapist, a psychoanalyst, would be capable of knowing what the dream meant. And so the psychoanalyst, following the Freudian condition, tells the dreamer what it means. Whereas the Jungian analyst, following Jung's tradition, makes suggestions and allows the dreamer to have the final decision as to what that dream might mean. Jung particularly was interested in knowing a whole series of dreams. In other words, he felt that just taking one dream by itself usually did not give an adequate picture of the unconscious or tell the whole story. And so he insisted that his patients make a very close record of all of their dreams and that they would be all brought in together. And by looking at the series of dreams, how one dream succeeded another, that is how our Jung would get his most insights into what the dreams meant. Jung tells us that in the course of his 60 years of practice as an analyst, he helped people interpret approximately 80,000 dreams. And what Jung discovered in the course of working with so many dreams from so many people, that there were certain symbols that kept repeating themselves. Different people from different countries that had no contact with one another. And yet there was this commonality in the particular symbols that very often they had. And this caused Jung to go back and to make a study of mythology, and particularly a study of alchemy. And what he discovered was that very often these dreamers were laying a hold of some particular symbol that you could read about 2,000 or 3,000 years ago that was occurring there in the different primitive religions as well as in other areas of the past. And it was out of this insight, this knowledge, that Jung finally developed his theory of the collective unconscious or the objective psyche, namely that all of us, not only the people that are living now, but all the people that have ever lived, that we all share in a common unconscious, this collective unconscious, and that every one of us has the riches of all of the experiences of all the generations of people that have preceded us. And we're able to tap into that. And the primary way that we tap into that is through dreams. Jung felt that, for the most part, dreams are what he called compensatory. They are trying to compensate for the neglected or those undifferentiated aspects of our psyche. And thereby, they are trying to help us bring about a balance that is lacking. And in that sense, every dream is given to us to help us complete the different tasks of individuation and to arrive at that center, that focusing point that is called the self. For this reason, Jung was always very pleased, very happy when one of his patients had what he called a mandala dream, a dream in which they saw a circle or a square that had a center in it. Or, for example, if they dreamt of a rose or the lotus or a rose window, something that was focused on a central point. Because he felt that this was a clear sign that this person was arriving at some kind of an actualization and realization of one's self, and was arriving at that point of an individuation and maturity. Jung differed from Freud in insisting that the same symbol could have different meanings for different people. But there were a few symbols that Jung found people did have in common. These were the symbols that came out of the deepest levels of the collective unconscious. So, for example, a person that was making a journey would in some way express the spiritual journey that that person's soul was making. Or if you were crossing a body of water, that symbolized making some change. For this reason, whenever a person dreams about their own death, almost never does it refer to physical death, but simply dying to some aspect of your life so that you can rise to another aspect. When a person goes down into the water, that usually means going down into the unconscious. When a person goes up a mountain, that means a person is bringing the contents of the unconscious up into conscious life. When a person finds something precious, a jewel, or let's say an egg, that this usually is a symbol of, again, arriving at some kind of point of resolution of a problem, coming once again to a realization and actualization of the self. This is the end of the conference on interpretation of dreams.